Brothers, to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening and welcome, everybody. Can I get an approval of the agendas presented?
Second.
Second. Have a motion second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Can I get an approval of the minutes for the May 2nd, 2023 regular meeting minutes?
I will so move.
Second.
Motion to second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No unfinished business. New business. Margot Brown, mural update.
Hi. And I brought, do you all have copies of the surf easement?
We do.
Okay. And I also brought copies. I wrote a letter in 2019 to you about asking if we could have some repairs on the mural. It was beautiful that the city decided to make that mural. A lot of people take photos of it. But... you know, there's more and more damage happening. I just had to repair the top because it had cracked clear inside the building and spent a lot of money on that. And I know there's a proposal to get it fixed, but I've been waiting. Like, the letter I wrote was 2019, begging the city to do something to fix the mural. And so I'm hoping that you will, and to repair the wall where it's cracked. The guy that's done other brickwork for me says that there's a wrong surface on the mural that helped trap moisture inside the building and has damaged it further. And so, anyway, I know there's a proposal to take the bottom part of the mural off so that we can have some breathing room and fix the bricks there. And so I'm just really hoping the city will do it, because I've waited for years and years for this. So.
And I know...
Terry's received a couple bids, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, we've gotten a couple bids on this job. It'd be more or less to maintain the mural, the surface of the mural. We aren't proposing any kind of structural upgrades to the brick. There is a proposal to remove about the bottom three feet of the mural due to snow soaking into that surface. We believe if we could take that off, we would then repair, do some repointing and brickwork around there, because you're going to lose some of that when you take off what we got there as far as the dry that or stucco that's on there. We remove that, and then we were proposing to, we are going to remove part of the stucco along the main crack that's on there, basically, because that's just going to keep coming off. It's going
to keep... Just have that crack that comes up to the window?
Yeah, so we would cut along that, check the bricks for any damage there, but the feeling is it's just the stucco cracking away from the building, so we need to open that up and look at it, and then with that, we would just keep on that back in with a similar material as the dry that's on there now. Either a dry with a stucco, a Cuban type deal, they'll flush it back over, and then the artist, of course, will have to do some repainting if we were to go that route.
And did you see that they did kind of the same thing where he repaired the biggest crack was from the front of the building to the window, and finally when somebody left the apartment, it was also cracked inside the building, so I had to get people here. And we got a structural engineer, and he put a strap to hold the building still together, and they made as small of a place as they could on the outside. They did most of the repair on the inside.
Right. It'd be the same situation with that other crack. We just need to open it up.
Yeah.
One is just going to keep popping. I mean,
yeah.
It's loose to the point where, you know, the drive is going to keep coming off, so we might as well head it off. If we were to do something, in my opinion, we would cut that section out, you know, a foot wide, examine what's going on there, and then cube on it back in.
And he put a surface back on it.
Right, that's the cube I'm talking about. Yeah, it'd be similar to that.
The two things he told me, which I have in a text and I didn't write down, was if your guy can do it, that he said it has to be kind of a sand mortar. There's a certain kind of mortar and a certain kind of brick.
Right.
And he said that's the only thing that's really essential, is that they use that.
Sure.
Because I repointed the bricks on the three other sides of the building, and then I just spent $27,000 fixing the crack in the top. And I'd really appreciate it if the city would do the rest and get the mural fixed. And I don't know if y'all want to see the letter I wrote in 2019. You do.
Who did you write it to?
I wrote it to the city council and the mayor. So that it's a different city council than 4 years ago. So, and then I also have a letter from Bruce Econo, because they were told when the mural was proposed in 2012 that the bricks would get repointed and the wall would be fixed. And that was the advantage for them of having the mural on the surface, is that it would be repaired then, you know. And I, so anyway, that was all.
I think we got the bids. I think Legal's looked at stuff. Is that correct?
Yes. I think we have an agreement, but we have to maintain that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to give you if you didn't have it.
We have it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm a little green in this, but it seems like the logical way to do it is would be for you to have the structural thing fixed first, and then after you're done, you can say, okay, now this is what you have left to do to fix the mural, and then we can decide if that's the way we want to go. But as far as doing contractor work for a private business, that's not appropriate for us to.
The agreement says that you would maintain the mural and the facility, which I don't know if that means the wall. But the wall, my guy who wrote the letter, or who I was quoting, said that the mural was causing more damage to the building because they put the wrong surface on it when it first happened.
I'd just like to see that.
Well, I think Terry, you said we had some bids up.
Yeah, we've gotten two back. It's hard to round up a mason right now around here, but we do have one a fairly decent bid back from Casey Masonry here in Buffalo. And like I said, the plan is just it's mostly cosmetic that we will be doing. It's taking the stucco or drag off that's on there. Where the cracks are. And if you look at the one side that we're having issues, we got the whole rest of the mural and there is no other issues. So I have a hard time saying that it's the wrong material. I've heard from plenty of masons that's stuck to brick all the time like that. That's not the case, I don't believe. But if you look at the rest of the mural, you know, to the east, there's no cracking. There's no nothing going on with it. So what happened to there, I'm not sure. But at some point, it did get some moisture behind there, and that's what caused it. But I do believe we need to pull what's coming off and prevent it from further falling off and then put it back with a better material.
Terry, I think part of it is because of the rest of the mural only covers a little bit of the bricks.
Right, I think that's good.
The part that's sealing a whole bunch of the bricks.
Right. And like I said, I think we were
part where it's cracking.
We were gathering ground moisture and stuff, and so I do think that's part of that repair is we removed some of that bottom where it's sucking up, where the snow gets piled and everything.
And the hook has fallen off, and bunches of it are falling off, and then it's got this big crack in the middle of it.
So I say if we're going to do it, let's not put it back to do it again. Let's just remove it and have paint directly on the bricks with the appropriate paint, and then we won't have to do the situation again. But at the same time, examine the one big crack that is happening just to see what's going on there.
I've seen some of the pictures from the artist before the mural was put on. That crack was there.
Which crack?
Was there. The main crack up there was there before the drive was put on, but it wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Ms. Brown has had fixed just recently.
That crack was fixed for $27,000.
Okay, that crack.
And that's where KLNA engineered a strut
that goes over the building. The crack was also there, but that's...
I would love to see the photos if you could send them to me.
I believe that's in the drive-it, this other crack we're talking about, which is just, you know, surface, but we do need to cut a little bit out and see what's going on there, because either way it's going to come off, I mean, down the road.
Councilman Madsen, could you maybe send me a copy of the
report? Yeah, I can forward those to you, so you can give me your email address later and I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
And write it down on
Can we safely get you, Terry, and legal in a room together to figure, to sit down here in the next couple of days?
I am leaving town Thursday, so if we could do it next week when I'm back, it'd be better.
Is that okay with you, legal?
I'm going to be going Monday next week.
Yeah, and okay. I don't come back till Tuesday. Yes, and I'm going to write down my email.
What I know about bricks is they hurt when they hit you in the head. I have two sisters that can throw a brick better than anybody in the
yeah.
Okay. Excuse me, may I say something?
Yes.
My name is David Rombett. I'm Margo's husband. We officially own this building together. My understanding from that contract is that the word facility meant the wall. But when Bruce Connell made the agreement with the city, she was told, and we have the letter from her attesting to this, you don't have paper on it. They only have her word. Yet she said she was told the wall, the structural problem that Councilman Madsen mentioned, would be repaired before a surface was put on it. Her understanding was that the main advantage to her in having that mural put up on the wall was they were going to repair the wall, because once the mural's up, we don't officially have any legal right to the wall anymore.
It's the city's.
In the end, from my understanding, and you would have to tell me if this is incorrect, when it says mural and facility, facility is the wall that the city took over.
I don't have that.
Margo has a copy of it. And so from our perspective, the city made an agreement in which they would make sure the wall was structurally sound before putting a mural on it, maintain that mural, make sure that wall didn't fall apart, because we can't. We went ahead and fixed it, as Margo mentioned, spent $27,000 of what our understanding was a city responsibility. And we also feel really strongly the people who did the work for us, who have done the other walls and who repaired structurally what was wrong now, those people have done fine work. They're well regarded nationally. They've done other work in the city on the Occidental, on the county building. So we feel great confidence with them. Yes, ma'am?
I don't think they didn't do the proposed. No, they didn't.
Oh, they just did the accidental. So we know what they do, and we know the quality of the work they do, and they've done everything else in the building. So from our perspective, it would be simply irresponsible to, I think, band-aid the surface again without actually repairing what's underneath. And if the city isn't, does facility not mean the wall?
Well, it says facility is located within the surface easement.
The surface easement is our wall. What else did we easement?
The surface of it. Only the surface of the easement.
Where does the surface stop?
Well,
quarter inch in?
The surface of it.
So
facility means nothing about the building. Is that correct?
Well, this is why I was trying to get everybody in the room together. I don't have a law degree, so I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we do have someone that does have one. Yeah.
Facility says facilities located within the surface easement. So you got to define what the surface easement is, and that's the face of it.
What are the facilities within it? Well, as you said, we need to figure that out at another time. But
the other thing I've thought about is if you go with your bid and if you were willing to do that and I decided I wanted my guy to do it, maybe I could pay the difference between the two bids somehow. I wanted to work with the city all along, but I've just been more and more stuff is getting damaged and more of it is cracking and more of the surface is falling off and I spend a lot of nights worrying and staying awake because you know, everything else is fixed except that wall. And I wouldn't have gone ahead and repaired the top, except I couldn't even rent the apartment inside because it cracked there inside. So, what?
I've got one.
Oh,
I don't have it with me.
I've got more than one here. So, if you, I will be back next week, and so maybe next week.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Pardon?
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Okay. I'll have to let you know when you're going to be.
Thank you, Ms. Brown.
Yes.
Next. Anything else?
Well, maybe Mr. Assey, is there any way you can get a rough idea of what it would cost just to remove that mural from the Walton building?
I can do that, yeah.
Would it be a lot of trouble?
The way it's coming off, it depends. I mean, some areas are going to be rougher than the other, and then, you know, saying it might cause brick damage where we'll have to repoint something, you know, removing it, you know, so there's always that.
I think there'll be some damage if you remove it just from taking it off because where the foot's fallen off part of the brick.
Together now, right?
Yeah. Pardon?
It's the mural is holding some of it together now.
Yeah.
You know? Okay.
It's a soft brick. It's a soft sheared brick, and it most likely will deface itself when we go pull and
that's what I was
drive
saying.
It off.
Yeah. Okay.
My brick guy said the front and the back were built with really good brick, and the sides not so good.
So good money.
Yeah. So anyway.
Both.
We'll
get you three together and next week.
And I really want something to happen soon. It's just been year after year of me asking and talking to people and worrying, you know. So I would really love it. And if you take the bid, if he could do it this summer before he's torn at Main Street, so I think he could do it next year.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Dawson.
Mr. Mayor, Council, thank you for allowing me to be here. Obviously, I'm coming to discuss a proposal for a 4-H shooting sports building out on the East Range. When this all started, it was the greatest need for the 4-H shooting sports leaders. We have 300 plus kids in 4-H in Johnson County. 110 of them are involved in the shooting sports. One of the things that we do in the wintertime is shoot archery, air rifle, and air pistol in the community buildings at the fairgrounds. Work fine, but we're the low man on the totem pole since they do not charge us anytime they have a paying customer. Brandon and that group, we get bumped. So a good 70-80% of our time slots were taken away from us. So the kids were just out there. I'm also coming as a representative of the Buffalo Trap and Ski Club. This is where the proposed building, our best option at this time, is out on that East Range. And the East Range has been a City of Buffalo facility since the mid-80s. I'm not sure exactly what time it's, you know, the Terry Barnhart and Emil Heck type era that was put together. And so I asked Julie for the lease for, and she's been wonderful to work with, and gave me the lease because it needed to be renewed. And if it needed to be renewed for the East Range, I would like to add that proposed 4-H building. We're looking at a metal building, no bricks involved. If somebody wants to paint on it, that's okay. What we're looking for is a lease that has been amended. Dennis was great working with on getting that lease updated, but there was some concerns that we needed to address with that. Obviously, a long time ago, there was a option for archery shooting down by the city park, the old log building below the high school, and you know that was a place for winter archery shooting. And then the Grouse Mountain Group has used Bomber Mountain in the basement for a while, and I think that's come and gone as well. So I talked to Brendan about their use on this building. Also talked to Aaron Worker about the proposal. He's got a a precision adult air rifle group that has expressed interest for an indoor place, a venue to shoot as well. So some of the concerns that Dennis addressed was that we did not have a platform. And Terry came out one night. We had our Thursday night is the night that we shoot outdoors. And Terry came out, and he had to wait a little bit because I had a line of kids on the shotgun thing. And he was gracious, and he waited and tapped his foot a little bit. But then we went over and marked where this proposed building, proposed approximately 42 by 96, so 50 by 100 metal building is what we're looking at, all via grant money that we're in the process of putting together, and it's been a couple-year process, and we're about halfway there with our funding. The proposed building is approximately $200,000. The building with the cement slab, $140,000, $20,000 to get it insulated, $13,000 to get electricity put in it, and then another $10,000 to have some propane heaters in it. And it was one of the things that in the lease, the city has paid the propane for the clubhouse out at the East Range for since the 80s until currently. Hasn't been too burdensome, but that's been because of water. One of the concerns that Dennis had when we discussed this was the propane bill for a building of a 50 by 100 foot. And my proposal is that that is only going to be heat. There's no water in this building. So it's only going to be heated just as the Needlecraft building is out at the fairgrounds, only as needed. So the day that we shoot Thursday, go out in the morning, turn the heat on. As soon as they're done, turn it off at night. So potentially pretty minimal, you know, but that was a concern that was addressed. So thanks for listening to me, but I'm not sure where we're...
Jen, have you been to the Planning and Zoning Committee about this building?
I have not.
Could we request that you do that? That we need to always go to Planning and Zoning before we...
Okay. Okay. You know, I've talked to Greg Cope about this. You know, on a casual basis. Been really involved with Commissioner Motney, and he hasn't suggested that direction. But I would love to go talk to those folks and see what would the concerns be for planning and zoning on.
They always recommend to us what they. Okay. Anything coming into the city goes through them first, and I'm their liaison person, so. I knew, and I didn't know if you had before.
No, I have not, and that's a wonderful insight, and I greatly appreciate that. And, okay. So I'm not sure where we're at with this. This project, obviously, is all contingent on money, you know, funding for this sake, but I do need to ask the council to consider renewing the lease as for the existing range as it stands now. Some of the amendments that were added, Terry Barnhart just put them on a pen and ink on, you know, on the paper. It wasn't official, and I mean, Ken Gross was back in the day, and it's just flown for all these years, and we haven't been too much of a burden on the city, but I think it brings a lot in. Kurt Holbert right here is coming up next, I believe, and he's the vice president of the club, and they're shooting a pistol, a Buffalo Action pistol shooter. They shoot a couple times a month, so it's getting a lot more use than it has in the past. The club has, last year was 450 members, right now we're just shy of 300, so summertime and hunting season will break a bunch more in there. So I guess my question to the mayor, council, what's the next step? What do I need to do besides go to the planning zoning commission?
I think go to the planning and zoning commission, and then as far as the contract, I don't think you have one this evening. Madam Clerk, do you have a copy?
So just to clarify, you want to move forward with the current building, renewing that lease agreement?
Well, we need to add the one existing additional building that's not on there. There was a storage building that was built at least 20 years ago that houses the clay targets for the range. You know, that I think was just penciled in there. Would it be in best interest to do it that way? Renew it first, and then what we have in existence, and then come back and amend it?
Well, I think we need to update the contract. It sounds like if you want to add the new
building on there, or the 20-year-old building, onto that.
And I think we can continue to discuss this and work on agreeing to or deciding what's the best option out there. One of my questions for you, Mr. Dawson, is you mentioned that this is 100% funded by grants. Are there any, is there funds built in to, for repairs and maintenance for this facility into the future, or would that responsibility fall onto the city, or would the Trap and Skeet Club and 4-H clubs be willing to step up and put some skin in the game in that regard?
You know, that's an interesting question, Councilman. You know, it's a generating $200,000 for building that we're going to turn over to the city. I mean, it's quite a windfall in that regards. I did talk to Commissioner Dabotny about potentially adding some of that into the budget. Hopefully this is a pretty low maintenance or no maintenance building. I mean, that's, but again, there's always things that rise. Commissioner Dabotny said that placing it as a line item on the 4-H a la county budget is feasible.
Okay. Yeah, I just have a few questions that I'd like to get sorted out.
You bet. No, please do. That's why I...
Yeah, absolutely. But I think Councilwoman Camino made a great suggestion. I'd recommend presenting to planning and zoning, and then we can work through this together.
Wonderful. Is there something that I should prepare, present for the planning group, or is that...
They may want a description, you know.
Gotcha. Yeah, we've got all the there were six or seven bids that I received back, and they ranged from low ball to way, way high, you know, sure. That kind of stuff. And a lot of that stuff has been, you know, impacted by COVID and supply chain stuff. So hopefully it's going to come down. But I would love, you know, perchance have an idea.
Jim, be with me tomorrow. I'll get you on the agenda for next month. It's going to be as soon as we get you on there.
Sure. When?
For Tuesday at 1 o'clock of every month. So you can't be on the... I got to advertise, so I can't have you on this agenda next week. That's the downfall of that.
That's okay. We're still waiting on money.
All right. So, yeah, give me tomorrow and I'll get you what we need. And you can get us what I need. And we'll get you on there.
So yeah, get together with Terry will walk you through it, and then with the contract, if there's any changes to the current one, I think if you get in touch with legal.
Gotcha. I will do that.
And he can get it out to us.
We can get it updated and approved in next meeting or two.
Wonderful. You know, best case scenario, if the funds filter in the summer, like I'm hoping, you know, best case scenario, earliest that anyone could start is late fall, you know, with the possibility of getting the kids into it in January and that kind of stuff. But it's not just a wintertime building, as you know. For the last Thursdays, we've been rained out, so we've canceled that kind of stuff. We've had an indoor building, could be shooting archery inside that, 70 something kids could have been.
But we're happy for the
rain. Mike's got a big garage.
No.
This is bad. Uh-oh. Okay.
We good?
We're good.
Thank you very much for that insight, Terry. Thank you. Thanks.
Hey, no, those kids can shoot, man. I'll tell you what.
That's my fear. Now you get back up there where you should be.
St. Francis Animal Shelter Agreement.
Okay, everybody. My name is Laura Ulrich. I'm the president on the board of directors. This is Christine Dow. She's our vice president. Before I start, I'd like to introduce the other board members that are here. If you want to stand or raise your hand. Faye Harvey is here. Tommy Sabatka, Rex Harvey, and Kathy Day. Danny Guyton's here. She's hiding in the back and I can't see her. Yeah. So we are here tonight to speak about the shelter, the service we provide, and why we think we deserve more funding. First, I want to tell you a little bit about me. I haven't met a lot of you because I live in the county, so I'm not generally here of those. I spent 25 years as a 911 dispatcher in another state, 10 of those as the supervisor. I'm very familiar with the budget process and how difficult it can be to make cuts, and I am very sympathetic to your position because I can. I've been a volunteer at the shelter now for about 6 years. I also deliver meals for the senior center regularly, and until Moose Lodge closed recently, I was cooking breakfast on a lot of Sundays. So I am a strong believer in giving back to the community. St. Francis Animal Shelter provides an essential service to the citizens of Buffalo as well as Johnson County. You have our annual report now, which shows you what we accomplished in 2022. You'll be receiving those annually from now on. I only became the president in January of this year, and I'm still learning. Christine just got elected last month, so she's also just learning. I'm hoping you will get to know me better because I'm planning on attending these more regularly because I think our communication could be a little bit better about what we do. Prior to the establishment of our shelter, strays were housed at the police department for 3 days and then were euthanized if they weren't claimed. We feel going back to that would be a giant step backwards. With that, I'd like to tell you about a current dog we have named Tucker. Tucker's owner was life-flighted to Billings last week with a serious head injury. And like a lot of people, he lived alone. There was no one to take his dog. That dog was brought to us. We had to try and track down someone to come and get that dog. We did finally find the breeder that apparently got the dog from, and that breeder is out of town, of course, and won't be able to come to sometime later this week because she's got to come up from Laramie. So he will be with us for over a week. We don't normally charge people for that because that's obviously not something that you can plan for. Recently, as a result of an arrest by, I don't know if it was the police department or the sheriff's department, three dogs were brought to us. We have them in custody for over a month. When someone is arrested or has a medical emergency, normally it's dogs that they have because people don't drive around with their cats in the car. Those animals come to us, and we house those animals for as long as necessary, whether it's someone getting out of the hospital or until we get a family member to get those animals back to them. Just so you know, the average stay for a dog that we intake is 14 days. We tend to give dogs pretty fast. The average stay for a cat is 214 days. The cats generally stay a little bit longer. One of the community services we provide is our extra help program that we started last year. This was done through a grant from the Petco Love Foundation that we received. This is not city money at all. It provides free veterinary care to those who meet certain income restrictions. If it wasn't for this program, some of these animals might likely wind up being surrendered to the shelter because the people can't afford the medical care. In anticipation of the drastic funding cut that we were notified about, we have initiated the following changes to prepare for it. We were previously open 4 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. This is the last week we're going to do that. So next week, our only public day will be Friday from 10 to 4. We have expanded our hours on that day. Appointments can be made for other days depending on staff availability. We have no doubt this will probably decrease the number of adoptions as people will have fewer opportunities to interact with the potential family members they're looking for. We have currently stopped accepting any owner surrenders of cats or dogs. We're worried that this will result in more strays in the city as people become desperate for somewhere to put their animal. More stray cats and dogs, of course, can become a public safety concern. We have also stopped providing our low-cost veterinary care. That requires extra staffing on the day that the vet is there, on Mondays. So because of the cuts, we can no longer staff that, unfortunately. Over the last couple of years, we've seen the number of stray dogs coming into the shelter going down as we're now sharing licensing information with the police department. Chief Bissett's been great. That helps by sharing that information at 3 a.m. when a dog gets found. They don't have to bring him to the shelter. They can pull up that licensing information and take the dog home. So we have actually seen a slight decrease. That's a win-win for everybody. Unfortunately, the same cannot be said about cats. Sadly, the majority of the cats that come into the shelter are not wearing any kind of identification, and they're not microchipped. We get a number of owner surrenders for various reasons, as well as stray and abandoned kittens. That's the season we're coming into right about now. Over the last year, we built relationships with other shelters and rescues to try and network them to get more animals adopted. We've transferred in and out a number of animals. We also recently started working with the Cats and Coffee Connections, which is a cat cafe that recently opened down in Cheyenne. We've sent several cats down there, and off the top of my head, at least three have been adopted within the last month. We have worked regularly with Casper, Sheridan, Gillette, and Douglas to move our animals around, ones that have been with us for a while and aren't getting adopted. They have the same things. We try to shuttle them back and forth to ensure everybody's getting adopted. If the proposed cuts go through, we may have no choice but to cancel our contract with the city. This could result in the following, if it were to happen. All of our part-timers, five of them, would lose their jobs. We would only be able to pay our one full-time operations manager. The city would have to start purchasing, engraving, and selling the city dog licenses. The police department will bear the burden of housing any stray dogs they will pick up. This will take an officer out of the field for some time. It would be much cheaper to pay one of our employees than an officer to do that. A kennel will have to be purchased to house the animals, and food will have to be provided. The animal will need monitoring, which will take up police department personnel time. Chief, do you have a facility to open the dog somewhere? Do you have a facility somewhere in the police department right now? Okay. Let's see. And also, they do not deal with cats, so there would be no place to deal with any of the stray cats. I want to thank everyone who came out tonight to support the shelter. If you are here to support restoring full funding to the shelter, could you please raise your hand? Oh, that's so awesome. Thank you, everybody, for coming. That's awesome. We are continually making improvements at the shelter. Our building is now 20-plus years old, and it's starting to have issues. We have a building fund. None of the city money goes into that. That's not your responsibility. That's all fundraising that we've done. You will notice on the budget sheet there's the other expenses, $15,000. That was building improvements that we did. That came from a donor. None of that came from city money. I think we would use that for that. Lastly, we did talk to our attorney about the contract, and the section of the contract that covers modifications says no modification to or amendment of this agreement shall be effective unless reduced to writing and signed by both parties. As we would not sign an agreement involving a 78% pay cut, this would be a breach of contract, which could be a civil liability for the city. Lastly, I would like to quote Mahatma Gandhi, the greatness of a nation and its moral compass can be judged by the way it treats its animals. Buffalo is a great city, and we want to continue providing outstanding service to the citizens of Buffalo and Johnson County. Please help us to do that. Thank you.
Talked about the spay and neuter and vaccine, and none of that was cut on social media.
Correct.
And none of that was cut by the city. That was
the spay neuter front. You're right. Absolutely. We never said that was cut. Somebody else posted that. I don't know who did that, but no. We haven't heard from the city yet about this year, but we're assuming that the spay neuter fund is still there and will still be managed.
And it's my understanding that this contract, not that we would sign it either. Or are in agreement with it, is that, and what your monthly annual report to the city, do you know how much boarding expenses you've had since August?
Since this past August?
Mm-hmm. Since you started keeping track?
I can tell you off the top of my head. I know that those boarding fees were last year in effort for you to be able to save money. For the city council to be able to both compensate us for the increase of cost of living, they allowed us to keep the boarding fees. None of those have ever risen to $1,500, even with the pickup fees.
It's because you're to provide us with good reporting, and based on your reporting, the boarding fees are only $990. For the last 10 months.
Okay.
So it's hard to say that $18,000 for $990, I mean, this is not good reporting, especially what you gave us with the numbers on this sheet tonight.
So you want us to change this? We'll change whatever it is you want us to change. To get that. I think part of the issue is that our communication is we're obviously not getting across what we're actually doing.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so we need to change something.
Don't tell the picture of your expenses of boarding our animals and how many dogs you're taking in or how many cats you're boarding. That makes it really hard to look at it and fund it.
Okay.
And then also, we're an open council. Did you reach out to anyone on the board?
No, we just found out about this on Thursday. So we've been in kind of panic mode trying to figure out what to do.
Our budget is not final until June 30th, and I think it really would have been professional to come to us and explain what you're seeing and what we're seeing, so we could have had better communication.
Okay. Well, hopefully we will move forward from here with that.
May I also say something? Because I think that aside from adjusting the reporting that works for you guys, there's a lot of invisible costs that we aren't even going to be talking about on a sheet, because when we're taking over the cost of running a shelter, right, because that was part of how this agreement was put in place, right, so the city council and the city didn't have to take on the responsibility of a shelter operation, right?
So that's what the service contract is about.
No, I'm talking about the history of, you know, because what would happen is that that's where this would go. If the shelter didn't exist, the city would have to find a way to board, to care for animals. And in today's world, a three-day euthanasia is not a popular option. If you want to go that way, that's your choice. But the fact of the matter is, long-term care is expensive. And what happens is, once these dogs become ours, so if someone brings in a stray and it doesn't get claimed, we take on all those costs. And most of those animals that come in as strays are not in good medical condition. And I think you all, if you have any animals, you know how expensive veterinary costs and medication is. So those animals come into our care, and we take that on, and that's, you know, our burden to bear, but we save the city money by taking on that responsibility, and that's part of the reason why we made this agreement, so that basically you guys are renting our space to board these animals. And so essentially you're saying that you are not going to pay the agreed fee that we decided. So if you guys have a problem with that fee, I understand, and that's a discussion, but to just go ahead and cut that when there's an agreement in place, when we was this was put in place so that we could board these animals for you and prevent the creation of a shelter, a city shelter, it's kind of confusing from our standpoint as well. So maybe that's where the communication needs to be in place, because it kind of comes from left field, and that's where we're operating from.
Well, and when we're going off the information we're given on a monthly basis, this is all we have to work with from your shelter.
Well, we will make that better. Yes.
And this service contract we're talking about starts July 1 and goes to June 30th of next year. So your funding for the next month and a half, it'll still be the same. There'll be no change in funding until the 1st of July.
Right. So correct. These adjustments are being made because it's only a month's worth of funding left. Yeah. And we do, you know, costs of staff. The other thing that doesn't, I don't think, really show well is staffing costs, right? We have to pay people working wage to get people to stay and get quality care for the animals. Because the whole purpose of this is so that they're not just stuck in a cage somewhere, they're actually getting quality care. So
right.
We need quality
according to the responsibilities of the shelter in this contract, that's on you.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, I know. I'm just talking about costs that aren't reflected in the report is what I'm talking about.
Exactly. But it shouldn't be reflected because those are your responsibilities, not ours.
Well, I didn't mean reflected to put on you, but just so you see what we're doing is more. Because that's still part of the annual report.
All I know is my dog won't go out on the back deck because he thought he saw a snake. It's a big brave lad, you know. But I do know that the one good thing about a good negotiation is nobody walks away happy because everybody's got to get something. And do you start a negotiation by making the step that we did? Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe there's a better way I could have handled it.
I would like to add that we actually started the negotiation. Laura presented and sent a proposal for an increase in cost in February. So when we finally reached out and we need to know what's going on so that we're not blindsided, and then, you know, most of us are in the county, most of us don't attend city meetings, most of us are really like, oh, they're going to be fine, they're going to do what they're going to do. So when we heard that the costs were going to be cut, we were very distressed, and it was very distressing, and which is a lot of what you're seeing on social media. Mm-hmm. But we did open negotiations. We were hoping to be able to increase so that we could pay the person who runs our shelter more than the person who lives hamburgers that got. But she doesn't make that much, and she bears great responsibility for dealing with the people that were arrested and are wanting their dogs back, who were not very responsible.
And again, employment costs are part of the shelter's responsibility.
Yes.
Not
yes.
The
right, but that would fall on you in the future should we not renew our contract.
May I mention a fact? Back in the day when the shelter took over for the city, back in the day when the shelter took over for the city, I do believe Nels Lofgren. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Penny Corbett, past president of the animal shelter. I swear to you, all of it has been pounding on my head all day. Because I wasn't going to come here tonight, and then I said, I have to, you know. Back in the day when they made the agreement, and I don't know if it was on paper, I tried to find the original agreement 8 years ago, and I never found it. But it was agreed that it was cheaper for the city to rent that portion of the shelter, because they didn't have to provide buildings. The old building, as most, a lot of you know, had no hot water, had no electricity. The cats could not be housed there. They were housed at vet clinics. Those dogs were taken care of by one, maybe two people. A bunch of lovely people came in and said, you know what, let us volunteer and help. And then they built a shelter and said, let us help you, the city, more by giving you a place to put those animals, taking over their care, and making sure they're cared for. That was rent. They have done that. They've provided it. The one time we had to come to council and say, look, the heater in the city broke. We need your help. We can't fix it on our own. We don't have the funds. Everything is done on donation. And even though you look at the number of dogs that go through there in a month, just because you're not home on vacation doesn't mean you can't pay your light bill for that two-week vacation you took. It doesn't mean you call your mortgage company and be like, dude, I wasn't even in that house for 2 weeks. The cost of care is always there. And part of what you guys pay for is the cost of the care of the animals. And they can't do that if you cut their budget.
Absolutely, we can't do that if we don't have accurate.
You know what? I used to do the reports for the shelter. So you know what? I will volunteer my time to go out and help them with the reports and try to make them better for you. It's been a long time, but I will try to scrub it out of my brain from way back when. And we'll do the best I can. But the bottom line is, you know, most renters can't go to their landlord and be like, hey, I've decided that, you know, you don't come and mow my lawn. I'm gonna cut my budget, and I'm not gonna pay you your full rent. And technically, it's the same thing. And I know there was a comment on Facebook about there's other facilities. Where? The vet clinics don't want it. They have too much on their hands now. And I'm not saying this to be mean, because you know I respect. Some of you I don't know. I respect all of you. And Scott benefited from the strays that came off the streets of Buffalo through St. Francis Animal Shelter, as some others have. So
Penny and Laura, I think that this council definitely loves St. Francis, and it was not an attempt to undermine. Have your total budget, I think you're looking at 5%. And again, we're going off of figures that we have. And what we have is what we have to work with.
Can I say something, please?
Sure. I will get with Connie, and we'll go and work on that.
I'm Rex Harvey. I'm on the board. We sent it in February. Sent a request. Did any of you see it?
Yes.
Did you reach out to us and say you don't have documentation to support this? Did anybody at the board receive any information from the city saying we don't have documentation?
Good point.
I just want to make a C-SPAN statement. I don't get my information from Facebook, and I don't get my medical advice from Google, and I think Councilman Camino had something else to say.
One of the things that's been circulating this past week regarding the shelter is, and I think it's well known, we're a no-kill shelter, and the question that comes to my mind is, out of these numbers that you have given us here, how many of these animals are coming from outside of Johnson County or outside of the state of Wyoming? And what expenses incurred on those animals? Because I'm here to take care of the citizens of Buffalo, and we can't afford to bring in dogs. I have no idea if this is true. I heard we brought in a dog from Oklahoma. The amount of medication that that dog needed was extraordinary.
Yes.
And so when I hear stories like that, it makes me question whether or not we should be supporting and funding these things.
Correct. The portion of our budget that the city funds right now is about 7%. The majority of that, as you can see, comes from donations. We do network with other shelters, and especially puppies, because we don't get puppies here very often. So we have a lot of people that are like, call me when you get a puppy, call me when you get a puppy. It's one of the few things that we can actually make a profit on when we adopt them, if we can get them through fast. Sadly, though this puppy was vaccinated, it came down with distemper. We fundraised to cover that. That's not something that's not a normal expense we would expect the city to cover. That's the first time we've ever, that I know, had distemper in the shelter. That was horrifying, trust me. What we have done this year, because money's tight for all of us, we all get that, we have actually managed from the first 4 months of this year versus the first 4 months of last year, we have managed to cut our expenses almost 15%, which I'm very proud of our operations manager for doing that. She's doing a fantastic job. Unfortunately, our donations have dropped 20%. Because, yeah, there's, you know, issues in the economy. So we are doing everything we can, because, I mean, I'm a fiscal conservative, too. I want to make sure my tax dollars are being spent appropriately. So then, normally when we bring dogs from out of state, it's puppies, because we just don't get the puppies here, and we have such a high demand for puppies.
How about outside of the county?
I would have to pull this out. I know we have done that, because we trade regularly. Like, Gillette will say, hey, we have two dogs that have been here for 6 months, and like, hey, we had two dogs, so we'll trade with them.
Right.
I would have to get those numbers to you.
But that's not correct. You can also get the numbers of the animals that go out in our shelter to states and out of the county as well, because we do that. We do a lot of adoptions out of the county, and every single person who comes to our shelter is always impressed and always so pleased with how well we've taken care of the animals. So, I mean, yes, we do bring in dogs. We help with cats.
We do not take cats for
that. Yeah. We don't want to know. We have enough of our own.
Okay.
But it's more of a direct, like, usually when that does happen, you know, part of our, you know, thing is quality care of the animals. So we don't, a dog sits there for weeks and weeks and, or it's usually when it's, like, long-standing, like, we had one Ezra who's been there forever. So trying to do those trades, the dog-to-dog trades, like, let's get some new faces on this dog. We'll put new faces on yours. So in terms of cost of care, it's still caring for a dog and just traded out the dog to try to get them exposed so that they're getting moved faster as opposed to sitting there longer.
And I guess that's where the line gets a little blurred for me, because according to the service agreement, we're paying you for the dogs that the police officers bring in, and we're paying you guys to care for those animals.
Right.
But every animal is mixed in.
I was going to say, I don't think it specifically says just the dogs the police department brings in.
Oh, I could be mistaken.
Yeah, we take stray cats, we take stray... Mm-hmm. I mean, the police department last year brought in 48 stray dogs. Mm-hmm. So if that was all we had to care for, I mean, that'd be a lot cheaper. But the public also brought in 47 from within the city. We had 43 feral cats brought in that we had to spay, neuter, and then luckily most of them we were able to socialize. 17 we had to release back out. They just were not sociable. And 37 owner surrenders. So it's not just the police department. They say, actually, with our reporting now with them, we're getting a lot fewer from the police department, which is great.
I think we're up to 10 this year.
I'm sorry?
I think, and the chief can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we're up to 10 this year.
And we're about 92% of the dogs that we bring are there for less than 24 hours.
Yeah, generally they're not there. It's the arrests and the medical issues that they generally tend to stay longer, or the ones that become our custody because the owners, for whatever reason, are surrendering them.
And I think it's important to remember that the fundraising and the donations that happen go to fund the dogs that you're talking about that come in from other places. I mean, we've done that for years.
Yeah.
And we run fundraisers to help pay for meds if that needs to be done. We don't use the city money for those animals that we bring in. We're just trying to bring in new faces to find homes for pets.
Okay. And maybe I need to look at the updated numbers in comparison. It just seems like the amount of money that was given, the $18,000 this last year, if you put it on a, and it doesn't make sense with the information that we're given. You know, in my mind, this was more of a law enforcement St. Francis Animal Shelter issue that we were having. It appears to me it's a larger issue than that. But when I was breaking this down, I take $18,000 and divide it by the 47 dogs that we took, or the cats that are not accounted for. And if they are released on 92% released within 24 hours. I mean, the simple math says that didn't cost you guys that much money. Now, I completely understand. We need to rework those numbers, and I appreciate you guys.
But it's also important to keep in mind that the lights still have to stay on, and that money does go and help pay for those things.
It's also important to note the three that were brought in from the arrest.
You need to come.
What are mental problems?
Can you come up to the podium, please?
Please state your name.
Sorry, I'm Kurt Ulrich, Denver, lesser half. So three that were brought in from law enforcement from the arrest recently, they were there for in excess of 30 days. One of them had medical issues. Yes, they were relinquished to the shelter, but that's three dogs that were in their care for over a month with medical bills associated that was generated from a law enforcement issue.
That's the Sheriff's Department, and they pay $3,500.
But it's a police firm. It very well could have been the police department that made those arrests.
It was not. It was the Sheriff's Department. I know that for a fact.
I think you're using as an example.
And the police department not
the county pays $3,500 a year. When it came out of my budget, they cut the ACO. My decision, I did that because I had to pay a dispatcher because our ACO was working half and half. And we looked at the amount of money that we were spending as an ACO to work 20 hours a week when I need to fill dispatchers and police cars. I have, since January 1st till now, 180 calls for service. Out of those 180, 10, the police department took dogs to the shelter, two of which we responded because civilians had those dogs in there. We still respond to dog calls. We still write citations for dog at large. We still write citations for vicious dogs. When that came out of my budget, I cut that ACO budget. We're still doing the same service the ACO did. We never dealt with cats. We won't deal with cats. We still deal with dogs. I'm a dog lover, love them to death. I have three. On the hierarchy in my house, they're way higher than I am. So there's a lot of misinformation about that, but I have a hard time paying $18,000 when the county's paying $3,500 out of my budget. And when you get dogs that are now being cared for that were brought in from the county, and the city gets a bad name for it, I have a problem with that. And I have a problem with the misinformation.
Sir, I said the law enforcement contact. I didn't say the police department.
Well, I want to make sure everybody knows.
Okay. I think we understand that. But does the police department not arrest people and put their dogs in the middle of the
shelter? Absolutely. But what I'm talking about.
So that could happen the next time it does.
But out of 48 dogs, that might be 5%. Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen,
can I say that there's some negotiating to go?
I want to say, in defense of Chief Cassette, that he definitely worked hard, and they have brought in dogs for us. They have come in when we called and said, "Well, we'd rather this dog come in as a." Through the official channels, but you don't want to police or to employ your police department based off of how often they may be being used that month. The dispatcher needs to be there 24/7, and that's why he had to come. They needed to be there 24/7 in order to be able to help you, even if they're doing absolutely nothing for 12 hours a night. I mean, that's not very likely. I'm assuming. If they aren't doing anything, they have to be there. The nurse or that emergency room have to be there. When it looks like we're not doing a lot, taking care of a lot of city dogs, well, maybe so, but we, the people we employ, we have to be able to give them enough hours in order for them to want to stay with us. And they don't, first, they receive pittance. They really are there because they love the animals. But if we can't give them enough hours to stay with us, they can't stay with us. And if we don't have people to take care of them, it's a vicious cycle. So yes, it doesn't look like we're really doing that much or helping the police that much. But if you have retail, you have lots. If you only put out as many cookies as may be sold that day, you're not going to sell enough cookies. You're going to lose money and you're going to go out of business. You know.
Oh, don't short us on cookies.
Does anyone have a question?
I am not one of their board members. My name is Tony Fox. I'm a resident here. My wife and I live here. Just a real quick question. What is the proposed 23-24 fiscal budget for the city?
We're getting to that.
Oh, there's going to be another. Yep. I don't have an agenda sheet, so I apologize.
Yep, it's,
okay,
it's
whatever it is, may I ask why a preliminary decision was made to propose a cut in this $18,000?
Well, I think, you know, as the council and myself, the information that we had to look at, and when you see the number that we're coming up with, you're going to see why we're cutting. Not only St. Francis Animal Shelter. There were programs for at-risk kids that took a cut.
So it's across-the-board cuts?
There's across-the-board cuts. Okay. Chief Bassett asked for stuff that he needed for his officers that we weren't able to give him this year.
Okay.
The street department asked for stuff that we weren't able to give him this year.
Don't go down that road.
No pun intended, right?
Trust me. I want to be nice tonight. Thank you, Mayor. Everybody had an across-the-board cut.
And for the employees, I'm going to sit here and say we have a lady that's worked for the city for 15 years and she makes less than $14 an hour. We feel it.
Not right.
Okay?
Should be better.
And that's what we're working on.
Okay,
so,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
Anybody have any questions or anything?
I don't have any questions. Just
in closing, I would like to thank Chief Bassett. We've been working with him really regularly about how to streamline our system and keep our dogs out of shelter, and he has been awesome to work with. So please tell me that you've been mad at him. He's been really great. Big supporter. Okay. Thank you. We have to figure out, are we going to, because I think we agreed that we need to negotiate this or have a conversation. So can we, like, we're getting there. Okay.
What I would like to make a motion is that the agreement for the St. Francis Animal Shelter be continued. For further discussion.
I will second that for discussion.
I can't make a motion, so you've got to...
I saw you.
Okay.
Now, when we have our next powwow on this, what I'd like to know is, you know, my dog escapes my house, and it ends up with you guys, and then my wife wants it back. I got to pay a penalty.
Do you want it back, or do you want it back? Do you want the dog back, too?
He sparks at the audience.
But anyway, that money right now, who gets that money? I mean, I have to pay bail money.
Right.
Do you guys use it to fund your operation? Or
Only the boarding fees, the city licensing fees, and the pickup fees go back to the city. So
okay.
While we gross $1,500 a month for the rent,
yeah,
we don't net that because we give however many licenses and however many pickup fees, yeah, back to the city.
Well, I think we ought to be seriously considering reverting that money back to them. Plus, it needs to be increased. I mean, the penalty, or what do you want to call it, bail or whatever it is.
Frequent flyer charges.
Yeah. Well, that needs to be realistic. I would be surprised if it's been changed in 10 years.
I don't think it has.
Okay, well, you guys come in with something and see something. Let's see if we can figure out something that will work.
Well, we had that in our proposal. Yeah. When we proposed in February, was to keep those.
You had those fines?
Those fees.
You're proposing that?
We did when we proposed our contract in February.
Okay.
Yeah, the $30 pickup fee was to be retained by the shelter, and
right,
part of the licensing fees would be.
And it would go up,
right,
adjusted.
Yes.
Let's see where we are that when we work that out. Maybe we can, you know, have a partnership here. The more we pick up or have to pick up, the richer you get.
And if any of you know how to get a supposed snake out from under the deck, my dog needs to go.
Okay,
so
we have
a motion and a second. All in favor of continuing the shelter agreement?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Now we go from dogs to pancakes. Very good.
Thank you.
The answer to your question is a bigger snake.
Then I wouldn't go on that. Okay, so. Okay, can y'all hear me in the back of the room? Not yet. No, I wish, but no.
Open door.
Okay. Kiwanis Pancake Breakfast Request, 722 Longmire Day Road Closure. The request is for Adams Street behind the museum from 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. on 722. And then again, for Fair and Rodeo Road Closure, Adams Street behind the museum, 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. on August 5th. Can I get a motion to approve the Kiwanis Annual Breakfast Pancake Request?
So moved. Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Go down West Haskins of cookie breakfast. Or at least a pancake.
Is the Longmire girl still here?
She left.
She was here on the dogs,
apparently. I got called from Longmire about the dogs. Here's a good one for you folks. Ordinance 1415, the first reading, an ordinance providing an annual appropriations bill for fiscal year ending June 30th, 2024. How many people in the audience want to know how much it is?
Yes.
$18,485,596. A little increase. But if you want a complete breakdown, we have it.
I can contact you later.
You have another meeting tonight, so I'm safe till tomorrow, is that
mm-hmm.
it? Okay. Can I get a motion to approve Ordinance 1415 on the first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? First reading passed. We're a third of the way there, folks. By the way, that number is subject to change. The chair probably wasn't. Here's a fun one. WAM 2023 official voting delegate. I will not be attending summer WAM. I would like to entertain a motion because we know that Madam Clerk will be there for sure, to put her as the official voting delegate for the city of Buffalo, and I think Councilwoman Camino, is it you, but as of right now you're attending, and I would like to appoint Councilwoman Camino as the alternate. If I could, so.
I would move that. I'll second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Vote well. Vote often. Reports, legal.
I have no report right now, so if you have any questions, I'm glad to answer.
Yeah, we kind of threw some work at you tonight.
I've got a draft back of the Royal Travel Center's infrastructure agreement, and we have some blanks in there for the fees that we need to figure that out. They took out the line on the extension of the improvements.
I guess they don't love us after.
Huh?
I guess they don't love us after all if we take
part. Yeah, it's fine. They love the seminars.
Is that everything from legal?
Yeah.
Mr. Hazy. Oh, any questions for legal?
We're going to apply with anything to report. I know there's some questions on some KLNA bills coming in. That's for that stormwater extension off of North Main there. That runs, it'll basically be connected from North Main, Pine Bloat on the Lumber, over to the Zip Trip is what we're looking at. They've sent out application to YDOT. Basically, that's their storm system there that ends at Zip Trip, so we basically have to get their okay to move forward with that design. So that's just for some engineering work that's being done on that at this point.
Councilwoman Camino, you might have to water your garden. Any questions for Mr. Acey?
Thanks, Derek.
Chief.
Mayor, Council, I don't have nothing new to report. I would like to say that, you know, this week is National Police Week. So it is, we are wearing our morning badge this week. We're honoring our fellow officers that were killed in line of duty. Having someone that was very close to me killed in the line of duty, it means a lot to me, and I want to recognize, you know, the men and women that not just work for me, but that do this job across the country. And sort of, I mean, we are very lucky in the town that we live in. And the officers that we have that do this tough job here in town, we have a phenomenal force right now in departments that it's ever been. And so I just need to thank my department and everybody that works with me for the great job that they do.
Mr. Dubert or Mr. Silvernagle?
Very helpful. Report. Do you have any questions? Glad I helped you.
How potholes?
Potholes?
Deep. They've got rain going.
Of course.
Oh, a lot of times. They're easier to find.
Yeah.
We're improving the fishing in our area. Mr. Brent.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. What's the only thing I want to ask is from the engineering standpoint, construction standpoint, the alley project, there was bid out for the Main Street alley to be starting this next month. So the more work we get out to people and stuff once it starts, the more ahead we'll be. So, all I have is to ask questions.
Good question. Are there any oral or written comments? Oral or written comments? Oral written comments. Hearing none. Planning and Zoning Board meeting May 23rd at 1 p.m. Department Head meeting June 6th at 7 a.m. City County meeting June 20th at 7 a.m. They're getting more lively all the time. City Council meetings June 6th and 20th at 5 p.m. And city offices are closed May 29th for Memorial Day. Can I get a motion to approve the bills as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?